I invite you to stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, which is also our sermon text for today. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out to the wilderness to see? A reed being shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare the way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears, let him hear." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's sermon is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. I'm sure you've all heard the saying, things are not always what they seem, right? Well, once when I was a child, maybe 4 or 5 years old, I was hanging out with my granddad who lived next door. We were very close. We had a lot of adventures together. Well, he was cutting down some tall weeds with a sickle, which is a long-handled, large blade. Some of you may know what that is, and I was standing back, but I was close by. So he was cutting down these tall weeds. He was swinging this blade, taking down this patch of weeds, when suddenly he turned and yelled to me, "Run!" Well, I didn't run. I was too curious. And I remember asking, even today, "What is it? A snake?" I wanted to see what it was. And by that point, Granddad had made it to where I was standing and proceeded to swat at me with his hat. So you probably understand now what had happened. Well, he had gotten into a hornet's nest. And now he was doing his best to protect me and keep this mad swarm of hornets from getting a hold of me. When about that time, one of those mad hornets nailed me on the shoulder, and then I ran. So. But during this bee-charming fiasco, unbeknownst to me and my granddad, my mother had stepped out on the back porch of her house, and from about 100 yards away, saw Granddad beating me with his hat. And she would tell you now that her first thought was, what has Mark done to make Granddad so mad that he would beat him with his hat? But she also knew this doesn't look right, because she knew how much my granddad loved me. Sometimes things are not what they seem, are they? And I'm sure you've experienced that in your lives as well in some way. Sometimes we see or experience things and say, this does not look right. Well, in the gospel text today, that's what John the Baptist is wondering. This doesn't look right. The Messiah has come, and John has heard about his teaching, his miracles, his healings. But here John still sits in prison, and evil men are still in control. And we cannot reject the obvious part of this text. John the Baptist is having some doubts. He asks, "Are you the coming one, or shall we expect another?" Even though the prophecies are coming through, Jesus' ministry will have a paradoxical character that can cause one to stumble and fall away without the proper eyes to see or ears to hear. Now, a paradox is a statement that seems to go against common sense, but it's still true. A paradox is a person or a thing having qualities that seem to be opposites. an all-powerful Jesus who does not conquer evil men. John had announced before at the baptism of Jesus that he was the end times judge, far mightier than John, and on the verge of wielding the winnowing fork and separating the wheat from the chaff. John here in prison is not concerned about his own personal welfare. He is the fiery prophet of God, and he knows it. But just as he was taken back when Jesus came to receive John's baptism, so here too he's taken aback as the judgment seems to be taking too long, and the forces of evil men are still strong. Where was the thunder of judgment? Where was the rebuke of the wicked? Why this use of power over demons, but not over evil men? What John has heard about Jesus' authoritative preaching and deeds does not match the end-time message that he himself preached. This does not look right. So I ask you, what about you? Does this look right to you? Because when Jesus Christ entered history, the reign of God on earth began. You and I, we are living in the reign of God. But does it look that way to you or me? Are there evil men who are still in power? Is there evil in the world? Have we seen genocide in our world? Have we seen cruel dictators who are still in power, or the murder and beheadings of our beloved Christian brothers and sisters? What about human trafficking and the mass abuse of young girls and boys? The murder of millions of unborn babies, starvation, disease, or even the moral decay of our society in general. And that list could go on and on and on. But those issues, they may be a little far removed from you and me. What about our own sinfulness? What about the dark places in our own minds and hearts that we wouldn't dare tell anybody about? What about the hurts of our past? What about the mistakes that we've made? Or the hurtful things that we may have said to someone? Or maybe the things that we've viewed on the internet? What about the words maybe that I gossiped? What about, no matter how hard I try, I always come up short? Does this look right to you and me? Does this look like the reign of God to you? And that is the paradox that many struggle with. If God is all-powerful, why do bad things happen? If God is all-powerful, why is there still evil in the world? And John the Baptist here was perhaps the first person who had to learn that Jesus' ministry and fulfillment of prophecy coming true has a paradoxical character to it. And that can cause people to stumble and fall away. Jesus sends word back to John, though, we know, and uses Isaiah's prophecy that things are being fulfilled. And in the gospel, the Old Testament reading we heard, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Jesus has been healing and restoring Israel. Jesus' answer to John is the strongest possible yes to his answer. I am the coming one. And one can easily imagine that John in prison and questioning at this time heard this message back from the Lord as truly good news, filled with salvation and hope, because God fulfills his promises. And Jesus responds to John the Baptist with the fulfillment prophecy from the Old Testament reading, which we heard from Isaiah 35 earlier. God has promised that all of creation will be restored in the image of a desert, a dry, desolate place, becoming springs of water and blossoming with crocus. God promised there would be in Isaiah 40 one crying in the wilderness, and in Malachi chapter 3 a messenger to prepare the way of the Lord. God has made promises and he's fulfilling his promises. And Isaiah 61 promises that the good news will be preached to the poor and the brokenhearted, and they will have their wounds bound up. And Malachi chapter 4 says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. God has made promises throughout history, and Jesus here is making it clear that they have come to be. And Jesus leaves no doubt in the minds of his hearers what the significance of John the Baptist is, who he is. Jesus told the crowds, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you're willing to accept it, He is Elijah who was to come. This was the Malachi prophecy. God fulfills his promises. Even going back farther than that, Bible scholars link Exodus chapter 23 with John because of similar wording. Behold, I send a messenger before you to guard you on the way and bring you to the place that I have prepared. This is the Israelites leaving slavery in Egypt and going to the Promised Land. And then they entered the Promised Land through the Jordan River. Likewise, Jesus entered his ministry through John, the messenger, who baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. God fulfills his promises. And we also read today that, yes, John is called the greatest among those born of a woman. But then Jesus, he delivers another paradox. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. Those least ones, who are they? They're you and me. We are greater than John the Baptist. In these words, Jesus is proclaiming God's reign now. Spreading in Israel offers salvation and hope to all people who yearn for it and long for it and need it. So what does all this mean for us? But before I answer that question, let's look at the birth of Jesus. After all, we are in Advent, right? Does it look right to you that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the Prince of Peace came down to earthly existence, incarnated as a baby, born to a virgin betrothed to a man she had not known? Scandalous. Does it look right to you that the Word, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, was born in a tiny little town, in an animal stall, and placed in a feed trough? Does this look right to you? But here's what it means for us. We know that this child is Emmanuel, God with us, and that he has saved us from our sins. We know that he came to earth through a virgin's womb, God incarnated. God entered our earthly existence in human flesh, just like ours. The angels tell the shepherds that they were bringing good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. And the good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this good news is that Jesus came to pay for my sins and your sins, and the sins of all people. He came so that we can cast all of our troubles on him, all of our worries on him. We can cast all of our doubts on him. We can cast all of our guilt on him. We can cast all of our grief on him. And because Jesus came, he now lives in our hearts. And because he lives in our hearts, we are strengthened by him. We are never alone. And when we fail, when we fall, and we all do, he showers us with his blessed assurance that we are forgiven and that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And this is what makes us greater than John the Baptist. We are living in the reign of God on earth, living in faith. But here Jesus delivers another shocking paradox. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. In some incomprehensible way, God's reign on earth can be resisted. In truth, evil men can seem to be in control, at least in some sense. But you and I, we can be confident. We can be confident that God's ultimate purposes in Jesus will prevail, because we know that God keeps his promises. But Jesus has revealed that in him, God is reigning in a hidden, a lowly way, a resistible way. John, the forerunner of the reign of him God is reigning, is the prime example. Herod Antipas, that violent man, he's arrested John. That's why John is in prison here. And soon, what's going to happen to John? He's going to be executed. Further in the coming chapters of Matthew, after our today's reading, Jesus will be met with further opposition and unbelief, calling for his condemnation, and Jesus will die the shameful death on a cross. And this is why Jesus says in the gospel text for today, if you are willing to receive it, and let the one who has ears let him hear. Because in his wisdom, God has come to reign in a way that will not look right to normal human perception. And it's difficult to accept this paradox of strength and weakness. So is there power in the reign of God in Jesus? Yes, absolutely. But it is a power for those in need, those who repent and believe, and not power to overthrow violent men. They will be overthrown, but not yet. Is there glory in the reign of God in Jesus? Yes, absolutely. But it is a glory that will be shown most importantly in what appears to be shame and defeat for John himself, and more importantly for Jesus on the cross. This doesn't look right, but we know that God keeps his promises, and someday, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes our human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.